Vai.
Nah, that's a
Are we
curveball.
live? Yeah. The balcony.
We are live, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good.
Sorry, Scott. I was trying to go live on the
It's okay. I'll
space.
follow. Do we know if Michelle's gonna be here?
She didn't say she wouldn't, so
Okay.
that
So
I can
we'll
connect.
move on and yeah. Just let me know.
Not gonna do that. It's okay. We'll still have the recording, and I'll have to ask the city clerk about that. Okay.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the September 25th, 2025 Social Service Human Relations Board meeting. This meeting is being recorded. The chat function has been turned off. If members of the public would like to comment on an item, please digitally raise your hand or email Grecia Mannion, GMANNAHAYON@alamedacity.gov. Comments submitted during the meeting before the conclusion of the public comment section will be read into the record. Her email address is also on the meeting agenda. If you are calling in by phone, please email Ms. Mannion as we will cannot see your hand. We raise your hand. You can also dial star 9 to raise your hand and we will call on you. Public comments will be limited to 3 minutes. The public has two opportunities for public comments. Wait, this is the best part. First, under agenda item 2, public comments from the audience may concern matters not on the agenda, but must deal with matters subject to the jurisdiction of the Social Service Human Relations Board. Second, in each agenda item, there will be an opportunity for public comment on the specific item. Each item will follow a format similar to city council meetings. First, after presentation, we will ask if there are any clarifying questions from the shrub members for staff. Second, we will ask if there are any comments on this agenda item. And last, after public comment, we will open the item up to board discussion and a vote if recommended. This meeting is now called to order at 7:02 p.m. We will do roll call. Bernie Wolf.
Here.
Diane and Michelle Romy.
Here.
Gerald Bryant. Here. Michelle Buckles.
Here.
Samantha Green. And Scott Neese here. And from the Housing and Human Services Division, we have Gracia Mannion, Program Manager, and Shelby Neal, Administrative Specialist. This will be your first meeting, so welcome aboard.
Yeah, I didn't talk about you.
Item number 2 is non-agenda public comments. The city welcomes speakers providing public comment, but please be advised this is a limited public forum. Comments from the audience may concern matters either on or not on the agenda, but must deal with matters subject to the jurisdiction of the Social Service Human Relations Board. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Comments concerning matters on this evening's agenda will be heard when that item is called. If speakers fail to follow these rules, they will be warned, and if they continue to disregard the rules, their opportunity to speak will end. Do we have any speakers, Gracia?
We did not have any public comment.
Okay. We can move on then to item number 3, which is the review and approval of the minutes for August 22nd, 2025. Samantha's brought the motion.
I second.
Seconded by Michelle. We're all here, so all is in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed? Passes. All right. Item number 4. Foray, we're going to be now voting on upcoming meeting changes, and Gresham Anayan will be the one who's presenting this to us.
Thank you, President Means. I did want to mention we have a funny speaker thing here today. It's a little shorter, the line, I mean, like a literal speaker, not a person speaker. So we might want to speak up so that when we look back at the recording, we can hear folks. Okay, so I have an item for you all in terms of rescheduling a couple meetings. One is traditionally one that you all combine due to the holidays. And the other is to accommodate a shrub event. Somehow, oh, there we go. I've been on Teams for too long. Okay. So this was the staff report you all received. Your October meeting is scheduled for Thursday, October 23rd. This is during United Against Hate Week. And the AUAH committee will be holding a film screening that evening. There weren't very many dates that they would be able to do it. So to accommodate that and for you all to be able to attend as well, we are proposing to move the meeting to the previous night at the same time and the same place. So I'll give folks some minute. I know. Check the calendars.
You do we then vote on that?
Yeah, so we'll vote one by one, like we do
Okay.
the minutes. Does somebody want to make a motion?
I motion to approve the new date.
I'll second.
Okay.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed? Unanimously passes.
Okay, great, thank you. And then the second item was your original meeting date is going to, so you actually don't have a meeting scheduled for November, December. You all typically combine to one meeting at the beginning of December. I think I said that funny, but you all would. We are proposing that you have your November December meeting on Thursday, December 4th.
Oh, so not the
Same time,
20th?
same place. No, because
Yes.
November December for the holidays, you all usually combine into one meeting.
Right. We did
Oh,
that
and
last
then
year.
fourth applying that.
Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So December 4th.
Yeah. So we know November meeting and no regular December meeting.
Yeah, same reason.
The only thing I just want to think about is I think that was the meeting we would plan on celebrating our volunteers
Oh,
for
that's
our
yeah.
volunteer award ceremony. And I think, do we want to make sure there's no other community events on that date?
It's on a Thursday.
When does
You mean like
the
holiday stuff?
I just I'm thinking of other events. I know that they do the
So much time.
yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like
School.
any school like things, or if they're, because we're high school students, I think their Christmas break is later, so that's, we're fine. I the only thing I could think of that typically happens there is that Christmas tree lane thing, but I don't think that's on a Thursday. I think they do that on like a Friday. Do you know what I'm talking about? They have like
I'm so sure.
yeah, they do like a whole event, but I don't know.
It wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be on a Thursday. Yeah. So I think that should work. I just wanted to be mindful back
Yeah.
end of the calendar if there was any.
I haven't heard of any community events that conflict. There may be something that pops
Yeah.
up and then we can reconsider. But
I feel like the winter concerts and stuff like that, or things are later, a little bit later.
my
So
own.
at least we're kind of
I've
above.
heard this here. You see.
Yeah. It's I motion to approve.
I'll second.
But before we go to vote, there was want to make sure, because it's on here, that was there any comment from the community about the change? Just want to make sure someone doesn't come back later and say we never offered an opportunity for them to move this. So yeah.
No, we have no public comment on this item.
Great, great. Just want to make sure you cross our T's here. Excellent, everyone. Then we have a second, so we can go ahead and vote. No other comments from the board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And opposed? Unanimously passes. All right. Good job, everyone. Wow, we're really flying through this agenda, actually.
Last meeting was pretty robust. I
Yeah.
asked
Yeah.
people to do their presentations during this meeting, but everybody wanted August. So
Yeah.
September got left a little thin.
That's okay. I think we will have a robust conversation about at least one of the work groups, I predict.
Yeah.
So this item is for board discussion only. There's no staff presentation, so we'll go directly. Oh, let's go directly to public comments. Any public comments on this? So.
What, yeah, ask her what item. I do have a presentation about it, understand communications. It's the 6 month lower.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
No public comment for this item.
Great. Do any of the work groups want to present first?
Yeah, I mean, we can. Okay. Tweeting.
Get copies of
it? Don't. I'm not sure. I don't think they have yet. But okay, so a couple of things on the list. So Scott was kind enough to reach out to Tracy Jensen and see about having her take a look at our resolution, and she said she'd be interested in doing so. And we also have two dates on the board currently, October 1st or October 6th. I don't know, have we gotten a response back on that one yet?
For what, I'm sorry?
This was the United Against Hate work group meeting to discuss the draft of the race equity.
Oh, you mean meeting with her?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I haven't got a response back, sorry.
Okay, that was the first one.
And it's because I did meet with Tracy and the city attorney.
Okay.
And so I was going to bring it up as part of the discussion here.
Okay.
And then you can decide how you want to proceed with Tracy.
Okay. I'll let you do that part then. And okay. I'll just keep going with the rest of our...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We also have a screening coming up for the United Against Hate Week program, which will be coming up on, of course, October 23rd, 6 p.m. It'll be taking place here at City Hall Chambers. In honor of our United Against Hate Week this year, we are not going to do a poetry slam. We're going to go with the movie. The name of the movie is Bias. It talks about biases in general and how they affect people's lives around the country and around the world. And it's a pretty thought-provoking kind of a movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it on YouTube. And the trailer is good. If you go to the website, you can actually see a trailer yourself. Matter of fact, I think we had a document. I'm going to have to look now. But we had a document that was the picture for our, I guess I didn't
banner?
Yeah, for the banner that actually showed the...
Show it on the screen.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Do you guys have
the Mary,
yeah,
the banner design?
We had that, and it essentially has a QR code, and
I'm not logged into.
Oh yeah, we did.
Oh okay, yeah. So
we should send it around.
We have, yeah, we should. We've got a flyer that's going out that has the name of the movie and the description of it, and it's got a little link on the bottom that everybody will be able to click on and go to. There's also, I think it's a QR code on there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, and a QR code is on there as well. So you'll be able to get a chance to actually see what biases look like and be prepared for the movie. It should be a really wonderful program.
Is it a documentary or a...
Yes.
Oh, sorry, a QR code on the flyer or the banner?
On the flyer.
Oh, no. I don't think the flyer does not have a QR code. The banner that you all are working on has a QR code.
So it has a link then, right?
It has a link.
Okay, yes.
That's a link to the trailer.
That's what I remember. Yeah. Okay, so yes, you can click on the link and it'll take you to the YouTube trailer and you see bits and pieces.
Go ahead.
Gerald, did you want me to circulate the flyer? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
To the board? Okay.
Yes, please.
So that is easy to pull up because that's on the city website.
Okay.
So it's already on, we've started to promote it and it's on the city website.
Thank you.
I thought you meant the banner.
Oh, the purple banner.
No, I wanted to show the flyer because that's what everybody's going to want to be seeing coming up pretty soon here. We'll want them to actually get that. Yes.
Please come.
Please come. There you go. That's it right there.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And if you hit the more with the three buttons up there, you can click on that and it'll actually hide. You click and say hide the video panel and the floating controls. Hide the floating controls
as well. Do you want to see the trailer?
Pretty cool.
High flow controls. Yep. Excellent. And now that's where the trailer is. Do we have time enough to see the trailer? You guys want to see it?
Okay. Ken is so packed today.
quick question. Am I sharing sound? Do we know if I'm sharing sound?
It should.
Yeah, I think it
should.
On Teams, there's a separate function for it.
As Zoom, you know, it does.
Zoom is automatic.
Mm-hmm. It does that.
Does it automatically?
Okay. Yes. All right, floating panel. Sweet. It did not push it through.
No.
You put subtitles on it, at least.
You want to read the trailer?
I feel like I put up subtitles and everything these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Yay. You're
implicit bias.
Implicit bias?
Implicit bias, which means unconscious bias.
What is unconscious bias?
All of the horrible things that we do to each other that we pretend we don't do.
I feel like everyone has the bias, no matter the color.
There are countless biases that affect all of us. I wanted to explore unconscious bias and how it relates to gender and race. Where does it come from? What is its impact? And is there anything we can do to change it? We've evolved over millions of years to have the kind of brains that we have today, to be suspicious of people who are different from us. We should ask ourselves, is that useful in the modern world?
You as a neighbor on next door, don't create one of these posts thinking, I'm about to stereotype an entire race.
I would like to have to scan my neighborhood for who's watching me and thinking I'm a threat.
Your data suggests a moderate automatic association for harmless objects with white Americans and weapons with black Americans.
Objective quantitative studies show that men and women both perceive women different and lesser.
The news about toxic culture, workplaces saturated with sexual harassment and pay inequality is relentless. I have this sense that if I fail, it'll be like, well, you see, this is why we don't invest in women.
When you're standing across the table from the people who are writing your checks, telling you that you don't deserve this, that's hard because you're literally putting your body on the line.
Bias at its core is survival heuristic. You can have that gut feeling. It just has to be based on something that actually matters.
We tend to think about our own behavior as somehow more fair and free of bias than it is.
We're concerned about bias being introduced into AI. It's already there. We're the one teaching AI.
Trying to understand what is at the base of some of my perceptions and judgments, that's what led me on this journey.
It's great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So encouraged to come out and check it out. I'm sure it will be a wonderful day. We're also supposed to be getting a panel together to have brief discussions afterwards about bias programs and things that we can do in our community to maybe change that. So that'll be good. Oh, and we will be serving food as well. Food's the biggest convincer. Most people say food. Okay. So we hope you'll come down and join us. hope you will enjoy it. What else do we have? We have the proclamation for the United Against Hate Week. We've fortunate enough that we had Diane able to spin one up so that we can get it in front of the mayor, hopefully before. Hopefully.
They did it.
You did it.
Aggressive.
You did it. Yo, you rocked. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. I was wondering because I was like, wow, I had zero time to actually get through this. Thank you for being there. Really, really appreciate it. So.
Yeah, proclamation. It's going to go to the city council on the 21st.
And again, it's being reviewed to go to city council. That's my understanding. Okay. I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So what is on the proclamation?
Would you like to read it?
Or you can't?
You can't do that.
Okay. Okay.
Not publicly available.
So I can't get it to the rest of the
Oh.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Let's just say it's a good proclamation that talks about the Alameda Unite Against Hate program and us being part of the national movement. So
it's related to the resolution.
It is.
And it should we should be able to it should be posted publicly soon because we're actually late because it'll be for the October 21st city council meeting. So it should be public soon if it is. I don't think it's posted yet.
I think because I was on Zoom, I missed from my can you just make sure I'm clear? The resolution that we had that we all voted on was sort of was it, we weren't able to progress that forward, and so this is the or am I I'm
they are separate
seeing something
they all do separate things. I think one thing, if you don't mind,
please.
So, you know, proclamations can be for lots of different things. It's usually to celebrate something or to recognize, you know, something. There's no legislative power with that way because it's not usually typically like a mayor can have a proclamation. In some ways, being age-friendly cities was kind of like a proclamation. But now resolution is kind of taking it to the next step. It's like this, like, almost looks like a proclamation, but also resolutions are used to authorize expenditures and stuff too. And then there's the third thing, which is a council report. And that's when you actually explain everything you're going to do and what you plan to do in great detail. And sometimes that includes direction for staff. Like,
thank you.
And the whole reason why I'm explaining this is because that was actually the nature of our conversation. So thank you for telling me that. So I met with the city attorney and Councilmember Jensen about this. So something has happened between the last time we met and this one. In fact, we kind of knew about it, but I don't know. It didn't really resonate to me until we were actually talking and saying, oh, yeah, that did happen. So there was the LGBTQ, right, went to the council.
Right.
So, you know, they did it in the form of a council report.
Yeah.
Which was actually...
it was the report that we previewed.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Which was done through referral of a council member, Tony Dazon. Mm-hmm. And it includes actually like hard, real concrete things that they're actually directing staff to do.
Okay.
And I know, okay, so I know at one point we talked about like writing more reports or work plan reports. It's not something we want to like start do more of, right? But this isn't the same thing as that either. So I just want you to hear me out here. This is actually going to that council level, which I think is what you want. You want it to be on record. It's something that's actually passed and voted for by council. There's no real money attached or anything. So it's not a resolution, it's a council report. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use semantics, it is different. Mm-hmm. But the end result is council still votes on it. And the good thing about this is that, because I've read theirs in detail, I think it'd be a good idea, especially for both of you, to go online. And this is all public information. I can hand this over to you so you can find it easier. But there is a lot of teeth to it. This is moving things forward and not just generating another work plan. This is actually having city staff and directing city staff to do certain things to move things forward. So I would like you to consider that. Now, council reports are a little more like drawn out and boring and dry than resolution. Typically, what people put in them, though, is historical information, like that paper that you actually shared with me, which was fantastic. I'm forgetting the name of it now, but about the history of but so there's things like that you can actually really suss out and draw more of this in the form of a report too, and really actually explain what you're doing. I'm sorry, I'm kind of filibustering here a little bit, but just. I was thinking of the age-friendly movement in Oakland, and when we were using council reports, and eventually money came through.
Okay.
And that's when actually the resolution happened, was all about the communication plans and having the My Senior Center and communications for it. And that's where, like, then money was attached and actually came into the program.
Yeah, okay.
So there's this, so we can keep things moving in that way. And here, I just want to, I'm sorry, I wrote the words proclamation, resolution, report on fair piece of notes, but... So,
well, what's interesting to me, what was that it was somewhat staff generated, right? The LGBT meeting. I mean,
staff didn't. What you're saying, Tony didn't write it. That's what you're asking.
Exactly.
No, he brought it.
Yeah, but he was willing to bring it.
He didn't bring it.
The flyer is a priority at a city council meeting, and from then staff generated it because it was brought up as a city council priority.
Can I just clarify so I'm understanding these? So we are concurrently proposing a proclamation, which the mayor would decide on, or would council
that
decide
would be
on?
Specifically for the United Against Hate Week program.
Yes.
Okay. So that's just the mayor gets to decide yes or no, correct. Not city council.
Correct.
And that is just to celebrate the week. And then we had the
resolution
that would be something that we've already discussed and reviewed,
yes,
that then the city council would have to vote on, and it becomes in record.
Right.
But it does not set policy.
It doesn't move policy forward like a report would do, because it's directing staff.
Gotcha. Okay. And then
monies can be transferred.
So the report is then maybe perhaps the next level.
So the resolution would be attached with money.
No, the report would have to do.
The report, from what he was saying, has no money.
No, it's the other way.
Report, resolutions are typically resolutions can go. I'm sorry, no, but they can be. They go outside of this. Like someone's going to listen to this and go, well, they can be this and this too. But typically, resolutions are one of a few things. It's authorizing the spending or use of money or allocating money and resources specifically.
Right.
So if they were going to say, after all this work we do the top support, we do all this stuff, and we figure out, oh my God, we need a race and equity director here. I'm just saying this.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And then that could be in the council report, would be authorizing that position to be created.
Report, not resolution.
And you can also do the same thing. Let's say money came in. The resolution would be like, this authorizes the city administrator to sign a contract with HUD to accept this money for housing. That's another way. That's a resolution too. Gotcha. Usually that's accompanied by a report though.
Right.
You have to have the resolution to authorize it. So you have these things get used in combination with each other a lot of times. But reports... So, with Age Friendly, the great thing was whenever we did the reports, things were always being added every time we had a new report, because it would be requests. There would be some requests to do certain things, right? So specific things.
And then, like our road home, was that? Or that was a report, right?
It was a report, and was it was reviewed and accepted.
But it wasn't a resolution or anything.
No. And the resolution that this committee was bringing forward did not have money tied to it either.
Yes.
It was more directives for the staff.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
And spell it, what I'm saying is you can beat it, but it's like a here as kind of thing, right? Where a council report can actually is like a writing a book report. You can actually detail things in, you know, great detail what we want people to do and how you want them to do it, you know, methodology and all that kind of stuff. You also, I don't know, I haven't looked very, very closely at the format, but usually there's a section where we can talk about history and bring in that kind of stuff too. So you can really have an impact like on that kind of document.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will definitely take a read on it. I just took pictures because it's so tiny. I won't want to try and burn my eyeballs out.
If you want to like find online and download some of the other documents, I can get on there.
Yeah.
I just think it's really important that we move forward and we don't do something that's just symbolic and it dies there too. So that's why I was really hopeful. If you want to request her, what's the term he used on there? If you want to request
proclamation.
Request her to be the not the author the
sponsor.
I can't remember if they told me that it had to come from staff or.
Oh, I don't know. You mean for a report?
We want to make a request for her to sponsor it.
So
it could probably come from either. I mean, your board members, city appointed.
So we could bring it to somebody on city council and ask them.
If they would sponsor it.
Would sponsor it.
And I'm just, you could always find someone else, but Tracy said she would. Okay.
But you're talking about sponsoring a work plan. Not
yes, the work plan. She's definitely on board for sponsoring the work plan and following up the work plan and making sure the work moves forward on the work plan is what came in that meeting. So I just
thank you.
Consider all that. Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll keep that one in. And I don't, you know, that we have much else. You got a bunch of meetings that we did in between that were about the program itself and getting the different things set up for the program. But most of that was based around that, and the proclamation was also part of it. So that we did a lot for the last month. You guys did a lot for the last month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
We're excited for the movie.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes,
definitely. We have two high school students that we're talking to be on the panel and to facilitate.
Okay. And I have not heard back from Rashid. I checked again. I left him a message just to see if he would.
But I don't want a big panel because I don't think people are going to stick around.
I think, well, the two youth, one would be helping facilitate, one would be on the panel. So, I mean, if you got like two more votes for the panel, that should be enough.
Yeah.
I asked a question about, like, what's the recommended age for audience? Are we like junior high, high school? Well, like
7 minutes.
I did actually start watching parts of the movie, and based on the content, I would say maybe at least middle school, but high school. There was not a rating on the documentary.
Yeah, I was wondering.
But we'll have to discuss that
to understand. Yeah,
and to understand it in general, if you're middle school for sure.
I'm just curious. Make sure we don't set the mainstream.
And I believe that's everything we have for our. Did you have anything you wanted to?
No, that was it. But we want to send it out so people can help us promote it. That would be great.
Yeah, that was my follow-up question coming in, because we won't meet prior to the hate Alameda isn't against hate. I was about to say
the hate week.
Like no.
The whole lot.
What can we do to support you besides like what? How? Because I know this is kind of your big crunch time. How can we support you guys?
Get the word out to as many people as you know. If there are groups in school,
friends, family,
all out. Tell them, post it on social media. If you have social media, let people know that this is what we're doing, so that they can come out and see it. That'd be the best support we can get. It's more people that actually realize what biases are, and how those unconscious biases specifically affect things around us, the better we have an opportunity to have more listening from community at large.
Do we have ability to post it? I feel like the library there at the like the book drop-off section, there's like upcoming events little thing.
Oh yeah.
At the you know, there's like the fire right there. I know most of it is library events.
Oh, we definitely can put city. We can put city's flyer.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a pretty visible place.
Yeah, it's ironic you mentioned that, because we were so focused on spreading the word virtually, because I think last time the emphasis has been on paper flyers, and that hasn't been as successful. But we should do both.
Just, I mean, I feel like there I see things like I feel like people do look at that place.
Or Mastic, we just find that people really do look at flyers.
That'd be a great place to put them too.
Did we know that Sarah Henry has any more United Against Hate Week flyer or posters?
You know, I never heard back from the communications director, so I'm assuming she doesn't have any. Okay. But I can follow up about that.
Would you? That,
yes,
that,
absolutely.
Because we would still like to get them out to the community. And if you guys want them.
Yeah,
every time I walk by my favorite places, I see that they still have them up. So I'd like to increase that number.
Yeah. Can you let us know so that we can help with the distribution?
Yes.
Like last year, we walked in
the
park.
The posters or the flyers? Or
both.
Yeah. Okay, we can plan a day for the next couple weeks to do that. I have to, we definitely, flyers are easy. I need to figure out what's going on with posters.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think those, the back library and they're like, those are easy ones. And also Bay Farm, like those, that other one, Bay Farm too.
Okay.
The library.
And the businesses.
Over in Bay Farm?
Yeah, there's a library.
Yeah.
On the west side.
And then we also have banners that are going to be made, and that'll be hanging in the playgrounds. I don't know how many playgrounds.
No, so we received approval for them to hang at city halls. So they
just at city hall?
We can do all of them if you want, but we have to hang them ourselves. So there's a lot of places.
Gotta have a lot.
But we can do it. We can plan volunteers maybe, but yeah. We can do multiple places. I just know the priority was city halls.
Yeah.
That's what we got approval for.
And it's really pretty.
Yeah. Shelby did a great job.
Yeah. Really, really.
It's lavender. Mm-hmm. The balconies. That's not
I didn't know that's why you was
There we go. It was actually on their United Against Hate Week color
scheme. Yeah,
yeah.
All
so
with the branding
yeah,
guide.
It just
and,
was fortunate for the Val.
Yes.
And it was similar.
Only where they made it farther in the playoffs.
So, yes, so that was our report. I guess that was everything. I wanted to make sure I got that last bit in there. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Verdi.
Mine won't be nearly as long. We're waiting for November for the updated task force meeting to get direction on where to go. And basically, that's what we're doing.
Do you want to talk about your project?
Oh, and Mayor wrote me and asked me to consult with her on a domestic violence awareness video that she is making with Building Futures in Alameda Family Services. And I guess I'm going to hear from Sarah Henry and Livesink at a Zoom call. So it was actually good to know that we make sure that we're. What we're doing and she's doing their kind of coordinated.
Yeah, that was
very nice.
Yeah. Rona. we have some dates that we're doing presentations. I'm just trying to remember. Was it October 8th, right? Is that the school one?
That's PTAC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So October 8th, we're going to get the PTAC, which is the all the PTA presidents for each of the schools, with the idea of rather than doing like a run home show like we have been doing, that this will be more focused on what services are available and specific to students and families in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be some representatives from community organizations like the city and shrub members to kind of talk about what's out there with the hope of getting the PTA presidents more aware of services for schools,
right.
And helping them to actually have their faces and connections to the folks that are serving families. And then we're hoping that the McKinney Bento coordinator from AUSD will also be there so that they have the connection with school, city, community,
perfect.
All of them together. Yeah, so it'll be very different from what we've previously been doing, but the idea is still around the communications and what services.
That's very good.
Yeah, so that's the October 8th meeting.
Yeah, and then don't we have a second one? No, we don't have we don't want the library for.
I think we paused the library.
Oh, we did. Okay.
It's not.
So we have an age friendly by the library.
Yeah.
There we go.
I was like yes or no. I was confused about your question.
Yeah.
Before we do age friendly, can I say about the volunteer thing?
Yeah.
The other exciting thing is we're doing the Shrub Alameda Volunteer of the Year Award, which we will hopefully have both a youth and an adult category, and we're trying to push out the nomination process. So we have a survey, and we will celebrate the Volunteer of the Year Award on our December meeting. I guess the question is, are we going to vote? Is that going to be an agenda item in October for people to should we select it at the meeting or?
That's probably a good idea. So I will not be here at that meeting. I'll be out of town. Yes, I will, because we changed it.
We changed
so I'll be here. I would recommend that you as a committee select similar to how you do with like the CDBG awards, like make recommendations to the committee and then you all can vote. And then you would award them in December.
So I think that
in previous years, I think all members reviewed.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You can do that too.
Volunteers from different organizations.
any Alamedan that is involved. So.
And so, who would they be? Who would nominate them? Is a question I have.
Anyone. So you could nominate your. You have to disclose your relationship to that person, but if you wanted to nominate your.
partner, you could, or like if you thought they were, it's more about highlighting someone who's doing giving back in the community.
mean, my question pertains to folks over at the USS Hornet, because there's a whole, there's almost 400 volunteers over there at any given year at the Hornet. So there's a lot of volunteering over
There
there.
is a lot of volunteers,
And there's very small staff, very small staff. And would they be somebody that could volunteer? So send me some information, because I know all the
We just
folks.
have a survey, so it's just anyone who's
send me
not
the
Send me
link.
that link.
Yes,
As long as it lists somehow, we knew where all the agencies were, we could send this to.
Only
Well, we can use the
Scott,
volunteers, but also we can use, that volunteer list is now we can also host it on the post.
Oh, cool.
So if we want to ask them, I know Adam would actually help us out with this.
Do you guys want
If
to leave them?
you want to give me materials, I'll share with them and ask them if you can publish it.
Or you
we
should
should
do
have
that.
Criteria paper.
We do. In the questionnaire, it does say
Because stuff
like
you want him to have up there, just forward it to me.
it's an application.
Like
Like
I
you
said,
ask for their name, but like
well, I
you just
so
send me
but
the
then
link and I'll give
I
it to you.
selection
So I
process
was
is my
gonna
selection
develop that
criteria.
based on if we depending on how many applicants we got, if we needed to have like a scale that we were evaluating. I was going to create that based on the volume. If it because if there's three, maybe it will be very easy versus if there's 50, then I feel like we would need the scale. So I was gonna wait.
There's a whole lot of volunteers over there.
Yeah, but I think it's just volunteering, and I don't think it's necessarily. I mean, the Hornet is just as honorable, wonderful volunteer versus
The
the
food
Midway
bank.
shelter or the food bank.
Food
It's just
bank.
about volunteering.
Right.
We're not necessarily putting a weight to the type of
But
volunteering.
in that case, would it be the Hornet as the applicant, as
No, it would be
opposed
an
to the
individual
portal?
and
Yeah,
an
but
hour. We'd have
the
to pay.
president or the CEO of the Hornet, she could put in a recommendation, or any of the other people who are actually.
Another volunteer could say, hey, I like what this person
Yes,
does.
So, but it's just
So.
more of giving back to Alameda is the point, and not necessarily whatever thing is your thing, we want to celebrate that and that giving back.
There's a, and again, I bring up the Hornet only because so much of the city goes through the Hornet on any given day. Like today, they had, what was it? They had the report for Alameda for the Chamber of Commerce. So all the Chamber of Commerce people were over there at the Hornet today and dressed finely, and all the major business people from all the big and small businesses, as well as the mayor and the fire department and the chief of police, all these folks were right there and participating. So there's a lot of work in there.
Yeah, and the Radio Society, they're also
They're
like
right there as well.
just great places, people that really give their time to organizations that they're passionate about that benefit our community. So it's exciting.
Okay. Send me that link. Just send me
And
that link and I will pass that
I'm gonna
on.
put it, so I will just we can so I will put it as the
Barnwide.
I was gonna do it on Peeps, but we'll post
Do that.
right up.
If I may, I would say that maybe there should be some sort of tie to your mission as a board or like your purpose as a board. So the Hornet, it could be related to like human relations, right? But there should be like a tie to it.
There is a question of that in the nomination.
Okay.
Right.
I believe
We're
so.
talking
We
about
had
so
a,
have it
yeah.
tied to.
That's fun.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Send that link.
Okay.
That's a good thing. Thank you.
Absolutely. Put that in our change.
Yes. But I think what we were this emphasis, and I'm saying this as an individual, not as our group, is that we really wanted to celebrate the human relations aspect of it rather than necessarily the social service. So it's the connectivity, the giving back that I really want to highlight than necessarily the specific mission in our kind of social services lens. Is that I mean, it's individual, just I don't know if that speaks to the group.
Yeah, and I think that's why we kept it pretty open. It's just
I like the volunteer list. I like the post. I think social media. Yeah, any way we can get that out. Great. And you have another thing.
Oh, yes, just November 5th. We're doing another community listening session at the library this time. And there's a couple of groups that I really want to get to the table that I'm getting some help from people in the community to get to the table. As much as, you know, Mass, it's interesting in Alameda. I'm learning some things by doing this. As much as Alameda has like one senior center, right? So everyone goes to Mastic, right? But that's not actually the truth. Mastic is very much like it is in Oakland or other places, where it's a clubhouse and a specific group of people start going there. And there are groups of seniors who will never go there because they don't feel like that's their club. And so in some ways, having it, so I don't regret having one at Mastic. I think it's important. It is a bedrock here. It's where senior, you know, senior programs happen. But having it at a neutral location like the library and getting people who are involved in like Meals on Wheels programs as volunteers, people who are volunteers in the library and other places in that neutral location, I think we'll get a better, we'll see what happens in reality, but I think we'll get a little bit better participation from a wider group of people this way. That's what I'm hoping for. One interesting thing though, because as you're doing this, you connect with people, right? And with Age Friendly and the domains. And one of the groups I connected with was the Chamber of Commerce. And one thing, I had a meeting with them, and they knew all this stuff about villages, which I didn't know generally was really known very much in our
Ashby Village.
Yeah, exactly that. So villages take a certain type of demographic to be a bedrock, and it never quite worked out in Oakland. So they ended up jumping into Ashby Village, actually, all the people from that. But basically what it is, I don't want to do a huge education on this subject, but just in a nutshell, imagine a non-housing co-op. So everyone is housed, but now we have to buy goods and services. Some of us live in nice houses but are cash poor, or maybe have some disabilities. Others may be very able, maybe you're renting but have some extra money, or whatever. There's all these differences, right, with seniors. So everyone has a buy-in. And so with that money that they're co-oping, they buy services that all of the group wants. Like you're buying points into the group. But if you're like really able and not a lot of money, maybe you can mow some lawns or cook someone dinner or something. And so it's kind of like a point system where people are co-oping their resources together. That's been enough. It exists in Ashby Village, has one. They started with 30 people. Okay. They have 450 people now. They had a fairly high buy-in at first, but they've never risen the buy-in in 15 years. What they've done instead, though, is they've created these tiers where, like, people at the lowest tier to buy in is $10 a month. And it's sliding scale. It's up to $750 a year. Anyway, I actually met with the person who's the head of the Berkeley Village earlier today. And I actually was just start doing things in the background and figure out if this is something that's possible. You have to have a group of seniors that have some financial ability to join in to start with. That's your bedrock. You need a few homeowners who are maybe fragile or missing something in their lives. That will actually coalesce people together.
That's
so cool. So it's a really interesting concept. I think it's great that the Chamber of Commerce is interested, because if you want to do a real like equity approach on this, what you do is try to get the local business owners to seed money it, so that it wouldn't require buy-in to start with. Mm-hmm. And once it gets rolling, you find ways of keeping people in without it being a financial burden.
Or
that would be my goal. So,
or local businesses, which you are providing the services, I give a discount in, so that then you have a subscription to the services to help local businesses.
It keeps seniors independent in their own home and ability to purchase those goods and services. Yeah, yes, it's really good for business too. And they probably see that, and that's why they like it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very good.
Thank you.
I just so just felt my knowledge how excited you are about this. I'm really, it's
yes, thank you. Well, it is exciting. I guess that's it. We have staff communication is item 5, 6-month staff report on the City of Oakland's housing and human services.
Thank you. So So I realized you do have a presentation today, and it's by me. We have our 6 month report that I wanted to do last month, but that's when we had all our guest speakers. So I'll be doing it today. And here it is. I'm going to share screen. Okay. Trick that my friend taught me. Great. So as mentioned, this is the status report on housing and human services in the city of Alameda. For you all, the Social Service Human Relations Board during your September meeting. Okay. So some background, you all are familiar that in 2021, the Road Home 5-year strategic plan was passed and accepted by City Council. This then provided a directive to staff to fulfill the strategies and goals laid out within this strategic plan. We are now getting to the tail end of the strategic plan, and we'll be starting a planning process for the next one, hopefully in the end of year, getting there, beginning of the next year. So we did have a progress report completed last year. Here outlined are the three goals of the original Road Home plan. So goal one, secure housing future. Goal two, increase access to homeless emergency response services. And goal three, mobilize citywide response homelessness. So when we did our evaluation of how our progress, an assessment or evaluation of the progress that we've made as of fall of last year, 2024, we found that we had made progress in almost every goal and strategy. This progress report is available online. Okay. So the housing side of housing and human services typically is related to our below market rate home ownership and rental housing programs. And I have a couple, you all have the detailed staff report that's available online publicly as well, but a couple of highlights. This is from January through June of this year. In May, a lottery was held for 6 moderate income below market rate units at Alameda Landings Bay 37 development. And since then, we have conditionally approved buyers for all 6 moderate income BMRs. The homeownership list remain open. And based on construction timelines that we as a city have received, in the next 6 to 8 months, the city anticipates offering newly constructed below market rate homes for sale at about 4 properties. So for the pro-housing incentive, you all may recall that Alameda has been designated as a pro-housing city because of the policies that we've adopted. And we have received a conditional commitment of funding that is tied to that designation of $1 million.
Right.
So here is a long list of the many wonderful programs we have related to services and shelter for the unhoused. I'll give you all some highlights. So we had our prevention program, which we were able to provide funds to hire an additional part-time case manager or engagement specialist. And we also used that funding for aftercare services at Dignity Village. In addition, we did create a booklet, which we're calling a resources list. It's pretty comprehensive. It's available online. We have it in our office. And it's like, I don't know, 5 pages, it's like a booklet of different resources that are related to the prevention of homelessness. So it's legal aid, workforce, affordable housing leads, and things like that. So that was a big thing that we were proud to complete in the first 6 months. We continue to have our flexible funding program, our housing and human services outreach team. So the division welcomed Camille Rodriguez. She is managing the unhoused services and programs for the city. And we also welcomed Annie Flores, our engagement specialist. We did receive, during this period, we received approval from City Council to bring our outreach team in-house, and I'll be able to provide an update for how that's going at the next 6 month staff report. For library support, our engagement specialist provides support at the library 2 days per week on Tuesdays and Saturdays, What is great about her being able to go to the library on Saturdays is that she's able to connect with more families and children during that time. For our emergency supportive housing, from January to June, the houses served 25 clients and 17 households. For Dignity Village, since opening, they have served 113 unduplicated individuals and moved 32 individuals into permanent housing. The warming shelter closed in March, the last day of March, and on average, they served about 15 people per night. They have 25 beds. And during that, the winter warming shelter also offered case management. So Building Futures would come in and do housing assessments as well. Alrighty, shower and laundry continues to be offered weekly by We Hope at the Village of Love, and Christ Episcopal Church also offers their shower program on a weekly basis and twice during the winter warming shelter months. This is a picture of a client that was working with our division for years. And one of our case managers was able to break through to her, and she's now housed.
Small steps.
Yep. Okay. So goal three, mobilize citywide response to homelessness. We always have a mention of how like the existence of our division and what we do is pretty much related to mobilizing citywide response, because we work with other departments and social service providers. And our mission as a division is to facilitate affordable housing and support residents who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. The collaborative process aspect, we continue to have two recurring social service provider meeting spaces, which is coordinated outreach team, and the CARES team, which is the collaboration for advancing resource efforts and supports for Alameda's homeless. This is a few of us doing a site visit from the CARES team. You might recognize a couple of us.
The tall, handsome fellow.
Or you have the white beard.
And then the community development block grant social service awards, you all participated in the review of those applications earlier this year. The request for proposals went out on January 16th, and final recommendations were presented to City Council at the May 6th public hearing or City Council meeting. And the recommendations were approved by Council for funding for two consecutive years. Staff recommended, based on your all's recommendation, to fund the top five applicants for this funding cycle. And next time, you all will hear updates from July through December. I am really going to try to do it in January. and that will be the final phase of our current strategic plan.
So we'll be wrapping up for the next
year. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And my recommendation or staff recommendation is to accept the status report on housing and human services in the city of Alameda. The end.
Thank you.
Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
It takes a long time to get these things moving. Not simple.
Yeah.
And it definitely has lots of wheels moving, so I understand.
All right, we have item six is for board communications, non-agenda, and I have one thing I want to bring up, and that's I'm going to send the mayor an email about this vacancy that we have.
Yeah, please.
We really need it filled. Especially now, you know, I brought H. Friendly's like extra work hoop item, and here's and Ben Bernie's like working on his own basically on this. So we're really need that. If anyone has any thoughts about what any kind of other thing they were going to add to the request, I have a little odd thing I'm going to put in the request, and that's that we're missing. I'm really into the generational thing. We don't have any representation of Gen X at all on this. So I was just going to see if that's someone who at this point would be between 40 and 55.
That's Gen X.
That's Gen X. We have no representation.
That's me.
That's right. What?
How about younger?
No,
you.
Are you really?
Yes.
Less options. They're surviving.
I actually thought you were in your mid-30s. I apologize for thinking you were much younger.
Let me, because it goes to 1982.
Okay. Well, actually, that's close enough. Then that's good enough. I thought you were younger. I thought we didn't have anyone that age group, so I won't put that in there. That's splitting hairs a little too much. But yeah. But that's really, I'm sorry. I missed.
Get the millennials in. Put in the money in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So now we have that. I thought you were. I thought you were. Well,
I think Gen Z.
Gen Z.
That would be a suggestion.
That would, I will say one of the things that I feel challenged as this committee, as someone who like works full time, I find this, I feel like I can't contribute as much as I can because just the meetings are during the day. If you're working, I feel bad in my ability to contribute because a lot of our meetings are during the daytime. And if you're working and don't have that flexibility, that can be challenging.
Yeah, but we need somebody who's part of the community and maybe even, I mean, Gen Z is one thing, but being on the ground, somebody who's not necessarily in the...
Yeah.
Have people who are working on your boards.
Right.
That's your
right. You are.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I think that would be a real...
No, I'm not saying... I'm just... I feel bad. It's more my own... I stay in my own guilt.
I hear you. That's because you're a person of integrity, but I think you do great. No, I'm serious. You do a great job here, so don't feel bad about that. And, yeah. But if there's any other type of, you know, a diversity or anything that requests or any focus or anything anyone wants me to add, let me know. But I do tend to ask for us to please
get a new board member. Yeah, we need a new board member.
Is that Max?
I still have my wrong.
Yeah, Max is number one. Yeah, so we should have, yeah. And it's not hurting us too bad now, but if, like one of us suddenly left, we definitely feel it at that point. So we don't want to get to that point.
No.
So is there any other board communications about agenda item?
I went to the show. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was really wonderful. The whole thing that I think the one thing that struck me the most about the program was they talked about Russellville. Now, if you don't know where
the Oakland Museum,
has a program called Black Spaces Reclaim and Remain. It's a wonderful program where they've got all of the different exhibits of Oakland and how race was basically pushed around and pushed out of all the neighborhoods that they were in, using things like eminent domain as a way to take away the land of the people who were there. And so very fascinating to watch as they talked about the neighborhoods like West Oakland and all the company, the businesses and the families that got basically their whole stuff was jacked. They took their stuff out of their places, they stuck them in the trucks and they put them into storage places that they had to make them pay for. And since they couldn't, there goes their stuff. But the thing that got me was Russellville. And if you haven't heard of Russellville, that means they did their job well, because Russellville was actually a piece of unincorporated land between Hayward and Oakland that was the only place since the 1800s all the way through. That was the only place that Black people could basically have their families, and they built village type living. They didn't have any running water or electricity, and yet they made it work. And then with the use of eminent domain, the city promptly told them, we're going to be putting in new services here. We'll make sure there's electricity and water. And all you guys got to do is just let us come in and do it. And they said, sure. And they said, well, we'll be taking you guys out of here while we do it. And they built a business park. And that place that was Russellville, that was home to many people for many generations, is now a place where you can get your tires changed, or some other small business that absolutely did not bring community together. And so
That was the one thing that struck me. If you don't get to go to the show, you can look up Russell Field online. But those two things, there was a news report about the lady who was watching it. They were taking all of her stuff out of her shop. And she was basically being told, being interviewed by the news reporter. And then they talked to the gentleman from BART and said, he said, oh yeah, we're going to be putting all of her stuff into storage. And she was like, well, I don't know where storage is, but I'm sure they'll be taking care of it. And he went and basically said, yeah, no, we're not paying for the storage for any of this stuff. They will be responsible for the stuff that we took out of there. And of course, if you were poor Black and you were living in that neighborhood and your store was all you were using to make your money, you no longer have any money. So how are you going to pay for it? So it was a very fascinating show. Let me know when you want to go. I'll buy a ticket. You guys should all come. We don't have to make it something, but everybody should see that show. It was very, very interesting. There was a lot to see. There was a lot. So that was
not. And then there's a plug. It's Alameda Pride on October 11th. You know, there's a bunch of activities going on. Just pulled up the picture that I took of the flyer. There's a Pride fun run in the morning from Elks Lodge. And then there's Pride in the Park in Chichonia from noon to 5. Very fun. And there's a block party from 6 to 9 at Alameda Ave between Park and Oak.
I can't believe it's been a year.
I know. And so it looks, the Pride in the Park is really a fun activity too.
Yeah, I remember.
That was a Fleet Week, and that same day, and I think they're doing a 250th anniversary of the Navy at the Hornet, too.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they were.
So it is a action-packed day, celebrating a lot of things.
Yes. Cool.
Anything else? Okay, well, I guess that means we can adjourn the meeting officially at 8:06 p.m.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I saw that the 5th.
Oh, so
there's a shop.